Good morning, everybody. It is Stephen Molyneux from Free Domain. 12th of January, 2024. Did a great show this morning on a great verse in Corinthians. Keep those Bible verses coming. It's tapping into something remarkable within me, or possibly without me. So that's very cool. I'm happy to take your questions and comments, of course, this morning. One of the things that I'd like to talk about, because remember, it's all about me. Yes, me. But I would like to talk about luxury beliefs, but I am absolutely thrilled to hear what it is that you guys want to talk about as well, because this is a live stream, and therefore what you have to offer means the world to me. So if you would like to bring your topics to the fore, I will tee them up. Ooh, look at that. Throwing in a little bit of here and there. Golf metaphors. Golf, a game I've only played a couple of times in my life, and I will tell you, it was not my thing. No, not my thing. Not my ting at all. Not my ting at all, I tell you. In a vaguely Irish accent. All right. I have too many tabs. I always have. Too many tabs. But you really can't see. You can't see luxury beliefs more at play than California at the moment. I'm not sure anyone's going to learn anything from it at all, but it would be nice if they did, but I'm not holding my breath. Are there more than the seven virtues? It's a good question. I'm not sure what the seven virtues are. I mean, I'm sure I know some of them. But yeah, luxury beliefs are very interesting. So most people do not believe what they believe for any reason other than conformity, inertia, and emotion. Conformity, inertia, and emotion. And most people's beliefs these days are founded on attempting as much as possible to distance themselves from the proletariat, from physical labor. Right? So it's status. Most of human behavior, absent philosophy and religion, most of human behavior is status signaling. Which is why men, when they meet you, will ask you what you do for a living. And I say, I engage in petty crime. Because, you know, otherwise they might find my Wikipedia page. Just kidding. I tell people what I do. Take it or leave it. So, obviously, I don't engage in petty crime. So, when people say to you that reality is subjective, they're saying to you that they don't have to do physical labor. And that's it. And that's all they're signaling is that they can afford to indulge in intellectual bullshit because they don't have to deal with actual material tangible reality. You see, material labor throughout most of human history was for the slaves or the serfs or the proletariat or the low rent or the lower classes. So when people have beliefs in opposition to material reality, they're signaling, I don't have to deal with material reality, which means I don't do manual labor, which means I manipulate people, ideas, arguments for a living. I don't actually have to move boulders and build a pyramid. So, when you understand that, you understand what is going on with most people's, in particular, leftist beliefs. So, leftist beliefs are luxury beliefs in that it relies upon the people who do actual physical labor in order to support the parasitical intellectual classes that oppose reality. right? If you don't work in reality, someone else has to work in reality for you. So if you inherit, as my ancestors did, if you inherit a bunch of land with a bunch of serfs, then you can indulge in all kinds of platonic whack jobbery because other people are supplying you with the food and the shelter, right? You inherit the land, you inherit the house, and so you can engage in all kind of circle jerk masturbatory nonsense because other people are forced through your inherited property rights to pay for your nonsense. So luxury beliefs are status. So if you want to see a status, the best place to look is women in the modern world, right? So if you look at women and what is considered fashionable and attractive, what is considered fashionable and attractive is always the furthest thing from physical labor, right? Do you wear heels? That means you're not doing physical labor. Do you wear gloves, like white gloves? You're not doing physical labor. Do you wear makeup? You're not doing physical labor. Right? Does your hair just so? That means you're not doing physical labor. Even being super skinny means you're not doing physical labor. Because when you do physical labor, I don't know if you've ever worked with beefy physical labor types about the male. Think of the sort of the archetypical shows up in Renaissance Fair as a comedy, the washerwoman stereotype. You know, the woman that Winston Smith talks about in 1984. She's beautiful. Ah, she's a meter across the hips easily. That's her style of beauty. Right? The washerwoman. The proletariat. Fisherwife. You know, like big, beefy, bloodshot nose and skin and so on, right? So with women, the more frou-frou they look, the more they're saying, I don't have to do physical labor, I am aristocratic. So I don't have to deal with reality. And I was talking to my daughter. She's planning adulthood, right? She's planning adulthood at the moment because she's 16, right? Makes sense. And so I was talking about me having to go 18 months working up north in, you know, the cold and the heat and the bugs and the, right? And she's like, yeah, but it really grounded you. And it's like, well, that's true, right? So having to do physical labor, much though I disliked it at times from the age of, I mean, I first started doing, it wasn't exactly physical labor, but I was painting plaques at the age of 10 for the Silver Jubilee of Queen Elizabeth II. And then I got a job when I was 11 at a bookstore. I was assembling the New York Times on Sundays and doing other work around the bookstore, which was a job I loved. I loved that job at the bookstore because they could tear off the cover of a book and give me any book for free. I'd go out with bags of books, read all the way home on the subway. It was like, it was a bus, a subway, and a bus to get to that job, which started at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday. That was not fun. Long nails, thank you. Exisir, that's right. Yeah, long nails, I don't have to do long painted nails. I don't have to do physical labor, right? Wearing white, wearing delicate clothing. I don't have to do physical labor. And even showing a lot of skin is a status thing. Yeah, expensive purses. I don't have to do physical labor, right? And I'm a lady of leisure. And even showing a lot of skin means that you have outsourced your physical protection to men as a whole. Huge eyelashes, yeah, absolutely, means that you don't have to do. So it's all about a distance from physical labor. So if you understand that, for men, egalitarianism is the equivalent of female makeup. It is a luxury belief paid for by the labor of others. It is a form of status which says, I prey upon others for my survival. I don't have to do any work myself. My question was removed from the comments. I wonder why. Great. So, for instance, And this is a point that Mike Cernovich brought up, you know, credit where credit is due, is a great guy to follow on X. But if you remember back in the 2020, right, the summer of love with billions of dollars of damage and hundreds of people injured, many people killed, in the Black Lives Matter riots in the summer of 2020, which was, I mean, 2020 versus 2024 is a completely different planet. I don't know why the left hasn't gone feral in 2024, but probably because they felt they were going to lose the popular vote, as I predicted. So there were a lot of wealthy people who were saying, well, it's just property damage. It's just property. It's just property damage. It's only property. Doesn't matter. You know, it's only property. And now these are the same people going online and crying buckets of tears over harm to their mega mansions. It's just property, right? So saying that you don't mind rioting is saying I'm wealthy enough for private security. And you could see people in the California fires saying, I'll pay anyone to be my private fireman and all of that, right? So now property matters. And the capacity to do manual labor effectively and efficiently, and I'm not reducing firefighting to mere manual labor, but without the manual labor, like somebody actually bringing water out, pointing a hose or bombing, right, without bombing the water, without the actual physical labor, there's no such thing as firefighting. So all the people who said during the Black Lives Matter protests, but it's only property, are saying that they're not affected by it because they're wealthy enough for gated communities, private communities. They're a long way from the poor communities. In the same way, at least in the short run, people who say we should have sympathy for criminals, right? This is a very foundational thing that people say. We should have sympathy for criminals. You know, give them another chance. And I remember, what was it, 60 Minutes or 2020 on one of those other absolute garbage shows, had some show on many years ago about the sort of California's three strikes law. And then it was like, this poor black guy went to jail forever because he stole a slice of pizza. Apparently this was his third strike, and right, they would, and all of this sort of stuff. And all they're doing is they're saying that the criminality only affects the petty bourgeois, right? The people who own little stores, the people who own big stores, right? Like big chains, they're still local managers, right? So they're saying, look, these people, it doesn't affect me. I mean, I work in the abstract intellectual square. I write books and publish on Amazon. They're not going to be shoplifted. I mean, maybe they'll be copied by China, but that's a whole other matter. So they're saying, well, my labor can't be stolen off a shelf, and I'm not subject. I don't have to take the subway. So we should let criminals walk free because it's not anything to do. Like, compassion without reason is brutality on others. And so they're saying, well, I can afford these beliefs because they don't affect me. I can afford to have compassion for criminals because I'm in a gated community. I have private security. I'm not running some stupid little store that's going to get stolen from. I'm not living in a bad neighborhood. So all they're doing is signaling their own status, and signaling your own status at the effect, towards the negative effect of others is deeply demonic. It's deeply demonic to let poor people have to contend with endless waves of criminality because you want to show your status and that you don't have to deal with these issues. It's demonic. It's monstrous. The real compassion is helping people where it doesn't affect you directly, right? So saying, look, repeat criminals need to be locked up because 90% of crime is committed by like 10% of people. You lock those up and society becomes a paradise. They just proved this factually in El Salvador, which went from one of the highest murder rates to one of the lowest murder rates simply by locking people up and keeping them locked up. I mean, I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that it was easy to reform criminals. But if you've ever looked at like the NPD, like the narcissistic personality disorder brain, It's a different kind of animal, right? Stuff lights up that wouldn't otherwise light up in a healthy brain. Stuff is completely dark. Like a fifth or a quarter of the NPD brain is completely dark. They operate on a different level. What would give you horror gives them joy. What would give you joy gives them horror. Like, we refer to criminals as predators, Well, people lied about this with me, right? But we refer to criminals as predators because they hunt people. They are the effect of predators on the domestic population. It's all well and good to say, save the coyotes when you live in a high rise. How about save the coyotes when you have a farm on the frontier where the coyotes can eat your livestock? It's just a way of signaling, right? The real compassion is when you care about people where there's no effect on you. And if you care about the people in poor neighborhoods, the neighborhoods are poor because of criminality. When you care about the people in poor neighborhoods, when you live in a wealthy neighborhood, that's compassion. All the people who say, well, we must have government schools, we have to have government schools, they're all in expensive neighborhoods with relatively good schools, because there's a filter, right? Expensive neighborhood is a filter, high IQ. So they're saying, well, the fact that government schools are absolute trash in poor neighborhoods, to the point where, what was it, Waiting for Superman? There are entire documentaries on people desperate to get into charter schools and get their kids some kind of advantage. So saying we need government schools, it's just another zip code bragging, right? I'm in 90210, right? So it's just a form of bragging and saying, well, I can afford to teach my kids privately. I can hire them tutors. I'm in a good neighborhood, so government schools are great. And really, people who advocate for, see, there's a war between rich and poor, right? There's a war between rich and poor with the state. And yes, by the way, if y'all could help me out, throw a brother a few bucks, I'd really appreciate it. freedomain.com/donate is the best place to do it, but you can do it on Rumble, you can do it on Locals, you can do it on the app, freedomain.com/donate. So there's a war between rich and poor in the free market. In a free market, the rich are constantly tumbling down, like the churn between poor and wealthy is constant. And I experienced this directly. So when I was a broadcast student paying $270 a month for my room and board, and I mean, room board was pretty cheap too, I could afford to work for very little money. I could afford to take almost no salary for the first year or two of my entrepreneurial life, whereas rich people with a high burn rate can't. Right? No, I mean, I remember working, the CEO of the company had a very high burn rate. He had kids in university. He had a home to be paid. He had two or three cars. He had a cottage up north. He had to spend a lot of money. So high burn rate. I could live on very little. So as far as competition went, the smart poor can out-compete the smart rich. Now, the smart rich have their contacts, which is great, but the smart poor have low overhead, so they can charge less. So it is the business of the corrupt wealthy to use the state to sabotage the ambitious poor. And the way they do that, it's multifold, but one of the ways they do that is to advocate for the release of criminals. Criminals get released into poor neighborhoods, screw up the lives of the poor, interfere with their sleep, and disrupt their education and disrupt. You want to be an entrepreneur in the poor neighborhood, you're screwed because everybody would just steal your stuff, right? And I'm sure you've seen these videos of people in poor neighborhoods, they're walking around with a PS5 box and people are like, hey man, I'll buy that from you. And like, no, I don't want to sell it. And they just grab it and run, right? So you can't really be an entrepreneur in a poor neighborhood because the rich people are all advocating for the poor criminals to be released into the poor neighborhood, screws up people's entrepreneurship, screws up their education, screws up their sleep habits because there's this constant yelling and gunfire when they're trying to sleep. And it screws up their exercise because they've got to stay home because it's too dangerous out, so they can't go out and play. They can't learn social skills through spontaneous sports organization as I did when I was a kid. I mean, we were poor, but I learned a lot of social skills just going out, being broke with the other poor kids and roaming around, coming up with games and all of that sort of stuff, the stuff that I write about in Almost. You also screw up the poor as a wealthy person. You screw up the poor by advocating for government schools. You know that the schools are going to be better, much better in your neighborhood, and you can have the money to get private tutors and so on. The poor don't have that. The only chance the poor have, most of the poor, the only chance that they have to get out of being poor is to have good education, right? And so by advocating for government schools, where the income and the teacher quality is based upon property tax receipts. Sabotages the poor. Advocating for the welfare state has nothing to do with compassion for the poor. It is how the wealthy class sabotage the poor. So you advocate for the welfare state that takes the fathers out of the homes, which cripples the sons who might compete with you. So most policies advocated by wealthy liberals in particular are there to sabotage the poor so they can't be outcompeted. Because rich people, when they become wealthy, they always want to build fences around their wealth, right? They don't want to lose it. Because they know that they're going to have, not exactly idiot kids, but they're going to have regression to the mean kids, right? So someone's really smart, really entrepreneurial. Their kids will be more smart and more entrepreneurial than the average, but much less usually than the parents, because there's a regression to the mean. So when you build wealth, you want to keep that wealth. And the best way you do that in a statist society is to create barriers to entry, right? So licensing and paperwork and bureaucracy and really complicated tax codes and corporate structures. And so you create massive barriers to entry, and then you just work as hard as you can to sabotage the poor who are going to outcompete you, because there's this churn. There's like the scattershot of brilliance and entrepreneurship goes wide, and you get this light landing on smart poor people all the time. I mean, I grew up in fairly grinding poverty and have made a fairly decent go of things in my life, and but against a lot of resistance, right? And so the wealthy people, particularly on the left, they're just trying to do what the old aristocrats used to, just use the power of the state to get their hereditary lands and their titles and all of that, and then kill people who poached on their land, who hunted, right? Kill people who opposed them or questioned them or opposed them. My ancestor, William Molyneux, was hiding in barns in Ireland with his best friend, John Locke, being hunted by the king because he questioned some of the virtue and value of the king's commandments. So the wealthy gaining wealth and then using the power of the state to sabotage the poor, who they cannot compete with in the long run, is a constant factor. And so, yeah, all these luxury beliefs and they didn't think that the luxury beliefs would come back to bite them, right? Right. They didn't think that the luxury beliefs. Environmentalism is a luxury belief, and I don't mean taking care of the environment. We've been doing that since time immemorial. Farmers have been rotating their crops and letting their lands lie fallow to protect the long-term value of, I mean, people take care of their cars so that they don't burn out and destroy themselves and so on. But hyper-environmentalism is a way of destroying the opportunities of poorer people, right? Bunch of carbon taxes and diversity also can do some of the same stuff by replacing something other than pure meritocracy. See, in pure meritocracy, the poor will outcompete the wealthy over time because their costs of living are lower. They can undercharge for the goods that the wealthy require. And plus, you know, nothing whets your appetite for success like being a brokey when you're young. And so the young, intelligent, entrepreneurial kids are hungry for success in a way that the offspring of wealthy kids just aren't. Just aren't. I mean, I desperately needed money. I was hungry to work. I had three jobs in high school, late junior high and high school, because I desperately wanted to get ahead. I wanted to date. I wanted to have some money for the things that I wanted to do, and I had to pay bills. So I was just hungry. None of my wealthy, and I knew a couple of middle class and upper middle class kids. Actually, most of my friends from about the age of 13 or 14 onwards, as is a benefit of having a brother, is I had some pretty illusory friends when my mother was depressed and institutionalized, as you can imagine. But then my brother had some slightly better friends, actually substantially better friends, higher status friends. So I did a certain switcheroo, not 100%, but I had some decent friends. But I moved to, and none of the middle class and above kids had two jobs, let alone three. Right, so I just got more work experience. I ended up making more money, although I had to pay much more because they didn't have to pay their bills. And what can I tell you? Their jobs were luxury jobs. They didn't have to work. They're just going to be less hungry. So sabotaging the poor who can outcompete you is foundational to what is called leftist compassion. It's not compassion. It's just sabotage of the poor. It's just sabotage of the poor. So yeah, all of these luxury beliefs. And then you think, well, it's I'm going to use these false beliefs, these propagandized beliefs. I'm going to use it to protect my property, right? That's the big theory. I'm going to use it to protect my property. So the devil always pretends to sell you safety when in fact he's delivering suicide. Right? The devil always pretends to sell you safety when he in fact is delivering suicide. Say, hey, that's not what I ordered. Yeah, but that's what you're going to get. Like, the question of immigration is just a question of the welfare state. You could solve the problems of immigration just by giving up the welfare state. People won't give up the welfare state, and so they natter on about immigration. And the welfare state in many forms, right? Not just the formal one, but like all of the mass transfer of wealth from the productive to the unproductive, or the politically connected to the not politically connected. Yeah, so bribing the poor is sabotaging the poor. Luxury beliefs are status signaling. And you think, well, I can have all of these luxury beliefs because I don't have to deal with reality. And then something like the California wildfires happen, and suddenly your luxury beliefs, the price of them, right? The price of your beliefs comes clear over time. All right. So I think luxury beliefs are very interesting, and I don't believe any compassion, right? I mean, if society had compassion for the poor, society would have compassion for me. Let's say society thought I was saying some bad or wrong things, but they say, oh, yes, but you know, he was raised in grinding poverty by a mentally ill and violent mother, and so let's give him some sympathy, right? It's what I said on the debate with those two communists, right? That they sided with multinational corporations against a proletariat guy who dragged himself up by his bootstraps. So they were literally siding with multinational corporations in supporting my deplatforming. They were siding with giant multinational corporations against the proletariat, the worst communists on the planet. But of course, communism is not about the proletariat. It's just about power, right? We'll sell you. I mean, the communists are the ancient line of demonic centers offering you something for nothing in return for your soul. All right. Let's get to your questions and comments. Some more donations would thrill my spirits almost beyond measure. What do we got? $20 so far? Was I making more money as a teenager? Yeah, sometimes it feels that way. I'll be perfectly frank with you. All right, but let's get to your questions. I will attempt to rouse my spirits and get to what you have to say, right? How much of progress is delayed by people being absolutely sure and absolutely wrong? Sure, but absolutely sure and absolutely wrong. Being immune to, quote, facts is a luxury, high-status perspective. I don't need to deal with facts means I have people who deal with facts for me. I have people who deal with facts for me. Right, so for a woman to say, I don't cook and clean is a status symbol, right? It's a status. I don't want to cook and clean. Right? Feminism is a status thing, right? I don't have to do manual labor, right? So it's all now how men show status is sort of a different matter, because it's female status that has taken over the world, right? Wokeism is female status displays. Compassion without consequences, right? That's female status displays. So men are either doing this sort of hyper-masculinity stuff, or they're doing female virtue signaling, right? All right, so let's get to your questions and comments. Absent self-knowledge or moral philosophy, most people are unconscious propaganda machines. No, I get that. I get that. But aligning yourself with the propaganda of those in power is also a status claim, right? Back in the day, aristocrats would take pride in not knowing anything because it would show they are so rich. Yeah, for sure. For sure, in the past, being pale meant you didn't do manual labor, right? And so women had this, they had these horrible lead paint makeup that they would put on to give themselves these pale-ass kabuki faces, right? So that's just another status. I don't have to be outside. I can stay indoors. I'm away. I don't have to work in the hot sun. It's all status. All status. All status. As a woman, says this woman. I find it really crazy how some women can live with those giant stiletto nails. I cut my nails often because the length prevents me from actually doing things. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, so when you can deny basic reality, like I don't know what a male or a female is, right? That's just the straightest thing, saying I don't have to deal with reality. Because the only people who have to deal with reality are people who work in the real world, who don't work with spreadsheets and don't work with language and don't work with, like, people who actually do real labor in the real world have real consequences. I mean, any latent or incipient Platonism that I had in my brain was scrubbed out. Thank you, Tyrone, was scrubbed out of my brain by manual labor, right? Manual labor. When I worked up north, as I've mentioned before, right? When, thank you, Fiona, when I worked up north, I could not make one error. I could not make one error. I could not. You make one error and you get injured when you are deep in the bush. So if I got injured, somebody would have to carry me back for hours through thick snow to the tent. And then when they got back to the tent, they would have to, depending on the weather, they would have to try and contact a pilot. They would have to get a pilot to fly out. So the pilot would have to be not booked, and also there's only a certain amount of flying you can do. So the pilot would have to come out. I would have to get flown. I have to get loaded on the plane. I would get flown, bumpy turbulence, you name it. I'd have to get flown. I'm not sure how the distance of these pilots' planes were not great, so I might have to get switched to another plane because there was not a hospital in the local town, and I'd have to get to a hospital. It could be 2 or 3 days, and a lot of jostling, right? So every time you left the tent, you were taking your life in your hands. Well, I mean, we used jet fuel to heat the tent because it was minus 30, minus 40. So even when you went to sleep, you'd have to make sure you had sufficient ventilation. You'd have to make sure it wasn't too hot. We would wake up in the morning and the stove would be glowing. It would be that hot. We need that level of heat. Otherwise, you know, if you get it wrong, either something explodes or something catches fire. And if your tent catches fire when it's minus 30, minus 40, you're probably dead by the time the plane comes. It's windy as hell out there. You can't get a fire going. You can't stay warm enough, right? So you don't want it to be too hot. And if it's too cold, then you might get frostbite or you might die at night, right? So it's a lot of really, really tough manual labor. And I did it for a long time. You simply, if you don't respect reality, like absolute reality, you're dead. You're dead. I mean, you're working with flamethrowers. You're working with giant drills, right? I'm still working with a giant drinking in mind. So yeah, so when I see people with all of this platonic nonsense crap, it's just like, okay, you don't live in the real world, you've never done any manual labor, and it's just bullshit, abstract, intellectual, platonic posturing. Oh, I don't touch actual reality, but let me tell you the truth about how society works and what it should do. Blah! Shut up. All right. Ugh, is that a word? It's a Boots. It's a brand of Boots. And not the British pharmacy store called Boots. Somebody says, so true, most of my female acquaintances, not friends, call themselves extra and think it's cute, quirky, and high status. All of them are a paycheck away from broke because of things like nails and Uggs. Yeah. Well, you know, in general, when men get a windfall, they use it to prop up their family. When women get a windfall, they use it to leave their family. All right. This woman says, I can't stand them either. I hate typing with nails. I always have to cut them. Hi, Steph. I read your book, Against the Gods. Do you have any videos or podcasts on religion as well? So freedomain.com. Sorry. Go to fdrpodcast.com and do a search. That's the best way to find stuff. Absolutely for real. Says this woman, I know one girl who goes as far as posting GoFundMes to help her pay rent/bills. She got an eviction warning, and at the same time buys the newest designs from certain brands, which range from $200 to $400 each. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these malls are just sad little status cathedrals for vainglorious women. Which is, of course, not to call all women vainglorious, but malls are not about, there's not a lot of books on virtue and child raising in malls, but there is a lot of stupid shit, you know, glitter stuff and phone cases, like the phone case has to tell people who I am. It's like, if you need a phone case to tell people who you are, you aren't anything. All right. Women starting to flood the free domain. Good sign. Yes. I still feel bad for them. It really sucks to be female sometimes. You just don't get that you deserve everything you get feeling. I don't know what that means. Steve, welcome. Welcome. The new high status may soon be one's own ability to provide those hard material goods for themselves. Self-sustaining is the new rich. Well, yeah, I mean, or crypto, Bitcoin in particular, but see, there's a funny thing that all of this status stuff, it only works if you don't name it. Status only works if it's not clearly identified. It's a funny thing, right? Because status is only considered high status if it's not revealed as pathetic, insecure vanity, right? Pathetic, insecure vanity. And I remember, man, learning this lesson the hard way back in the day on social media. You start talking about, you know, just something as simple as makeup, right? That makeup is false advertising. Makeup is a form of sexual harassment in the workplace because makeup makes a woman look like she's just had an orgasm or she's sexually aroused. Makeup would be the equivalent of a male strapping a giant Freddie Mercury wrapped cucumber penis and having it tenting his legs as he walked around in a meeting. A giant, raging, throbbing, oil derrick boner. Right? That would be considered sexual harassment. That would be completely weird. And for women, I'm not talking about a tiny bit of makeup or whatever, right? But for women, makeup is reproducing sexual arousal and or orgasm, right? Because a woman's lips get more red, her eyes pop, her cheeks get more flushed when she's sexually aroused, and so makeup is there to mimic sexual arousal. And when you point this out, like, women went mental. Like, sorry, like, I mean, I there's some things I know are going to be upsetting for people. That one was kind of a real surprise for me. Because makeup only works if men don't realize that they're being manipulated by sex and orgasm signals, right? Makeup only works that way. Makeup only works if men realize that they're being programmed to divert blood from their brain to their phallus so that they can be more easily manipulated by women. So, tools of the trade, right? That was a makeup store I saw in a mall. It's tools of the trade, right? And so status only works if it's not identified. It only works if you buy into the status myth. But once a status myth is identified and shown to be obvious, right, that a woman with this sort of ridiculous get-ups is just signaling that she's far away from manual labor in a desperate attempt to appear aristocratic and raise her worth, right, then it all falls apart. It all crumbles. And of course, it's not just psychological, although it is psychological. You're taking away people's power by destroying people's illusions about their power. Like the people who say that the same people who think that politicians care for them think that the strippers love them. So when you take all of this away, then you're interfering with people's status. You're taking away their status. And you're also shifting potentially the movement of trillions of dollars around the world. Makeup is multi-hundred-billion-dollar a year industry around the world. So if the makeup myth is punctured and you say, I don't want some painted hyper-sexed kabuki clown, I want a fresh-faced, honest, virtuous woman, it's also signaling leisure time, right? So women who are very busy don't have enough time for makeup. I mean, if they're busy raising, you know, five kids, they don't really have time to do an hour of makeup every day. So women who are, it's also signaling that you don't have kids. It's signaling you have a lot of leisure time, right? Like muscles, right? Hyper muscles, right? Is a way of saying I can spend 2 or 3 hours a day in the gym. I have a lot of leisure time, which is signaling that you're single, signaling that you're dedicated, that you're hardworking, and it's just another. So if you puncture the status bubble, and in particular, in this case, it was the makeup bubble. If you puncture the makeup bubble and you have men see that makeup is a form of manipulating them through sexual display, right? All the women who are like, hashtag me too, right? Well, maybe stop spraying your female boner in male faces in a work environment, right? I mean, don't turn your work environment into a semi-porn shoot, right? I mean, it's just a possibility. And again, I'm not talking about a little bit of makeup. I'm talking about like the real excessive stuff. Maybe, just maybe, it's a possibility, right? Stop hypersexualizing the work environment with mating displays, because makeup is an enhancement of a mating display. No, it's just to look good and feel good. It's like, but that's just nonsense, right? And of course, a woman who says, I need makeup to feel good about myself is saying, I don't have a good conscience and feel self-respect from virtuous actions. Just a possibility. So it's also, if people stop believing, say the makeup myth could be any number of things, but if people stop believing the makeup myth, then if it's no longer an advantage but a disadvantage, in other words, if it's no longer high status but low status, because high status, if it's based on falsehoods, becomes low status when those falsehoods are revealed, and that screws with people's self-esteem, and it also deeply screws with the economy, right? So when you've got hundreds of billions of dollars at play, philosophers are robustly expendable. Right? If philosophers are saying you should look for a woman who's virtuous, not a woman who's simulating orgasm to manipulate you, and again, you can say it's unconscious or whatever, it doesn't really matter. I don't give women the unconscious excuse because women don't give men the unconscious excuse. So, yeah, you're screwing with hundreds of billions of dollars, and people don't have a good argument against it, so they're just going to counterattack, right? All right, let's get to your questions. Thank you for the tip. Think clearly. Good morning, Stefan and community. I was listening to a podcast earlier this week. The guest, known as a powerhouse entrepreneur and business man, made the comment, we have no free will. Conditions dictate outcome. He used an example of saying, if you lead a horse to water, it will not drink. If the conditions were the horse was deprived of water and dosed with salt, then he'll drink. But in the same breath, he says, these are decisions we must make to be successful. Thoughts? Well, people who say we have no free will are just fighting off their own bad conscience. That's all they're doing. They're just saying the bad things I did, I'm not responsible for. That's all. It's nothing more or less complicated than that. People who say we have no free will, people who are determinists, are revealing that they have a terrible conscience that they will not confront or learn from. So if you look at this example, and I'm not saying anything about this guy in particular, but I'm just saying it's a general trend. But if you look at this guy, he's saying, look at a horse. The fuck would a horse have to do with free will? I mean, it's like me saying, well, this coffee cup doesn't have free will. And therefore, you don't have free will, man. It's like, what the hell does a human being have to do with a coffee cup? If you mistake a coffee cup for a human female, for instance, I don't want you to offer me a coffee on your honeymoon. Creamer, right? What on earth would a horse have to do with human free will? So why would somebody who's debating free will talk about a horse? Because a horse doesn't have a conscience, and a horse can't be moral. A horse can't be good or evil. It can be dangerous, but it can't be good or evil because it doesn't have the capacity to compare proposed actions to ideal standards. So when somebody says, we don't have free will, and here's a horse, is saying, I have to treat my conscience as if it were a horse because my conscience is raging at me for the evils I've done, so then I have to pretend that there's no such thing as good and evil or free will. But I still want to manipulate people, so then I have to tell people they have choices. I have a question, Steph. What do you think of the saying, loyalty is the first law of morality? It's total bullshit. You can be loyal to evil. You can be loyal to evil doers. They're loyal. There's loyalty in the mafia. So I think it's just nonsense. Ate, welcome. Hello, all. It's my first time on a live chat. So happy to be here finally. Thank you. All right, Steph, check out the view counts on your Facebook videos. From 305 to 11,800, seems Zuckerberg really is reducing the censorship. Well, that's good to know. I did strongly believe that I was suppressed. So there we go. All right, let's get to your comments. Oh, boy, we are way back in the day, aren't we? Right, get here. Oh, sorry, those were real early. Boom, 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 boom. Let's get to your comments. Sorry, these are people replying to each other. Do you really think they do that on purpose, Steph? I always thought they were just oblivious rather than actively setting out to sabotage the poor. God, man. Permission to rant. Permission to rant to you lovely listeners. Oh. And I say this as guys had thousands of conversations with people over the years, whereas, let's say, I point out the evil of their parents, and they say, but it's unconscious, but they don't know. It's not, this wasn't their intent. That's a ghost in the machine that takes you off the cliff edge of determinism. The fuck do you care whether people are conscious of something or not? What does that matter? Do I think that people advocate for government schools because they consciously know that they want to sabotage the poor? No? So, who cares? Who cares? They are responsible for not being conscious of things. Because anyone who says, well, we need a government education, and of course it's going to be paid for by the local neighborhoods, then you say, well, that's going to result in worse education for the poor because they're going to have less money for those schools. Or even if we say somehow we move things around and we equalize the income, right? Saying, well, if we don't have a robustly outcome-based educational system, then the worst teachers will end up teaching the poor. Because the poor can be pretty volatile. They can be pretty upset and angry for reasons that I can completely understand, at least some of those reasons. So the worst teachers will end up in the poorest schools if you don't have a rewards-based teaching metric. So if teachers had half their salary paid for by the future incomes of their students, then the teachers would be very rational and practical in teaching economic skills and values to their students. Now, I'm not saying this would be necessarily a tax, but if I were running a school and it was a free market school, then I would say to the teachers, well, you know, we'll pay you for the first sort of five years or so, but let's say you're teaching high school, then it's going to be, your bonus is going to be based upon the number of good jobs that your students get and their income. And then I would make that an advertisement, right? Now, 90% of our students end up with a middle-class income 5 years out of high school, boom, 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 right? You just make it, but none of that shit exists, right? You can't fire teachers. And that means, of course, that the worst teachers are going to end up in the schools where you need the best teachers, right? And everybody would understand that. Anybody who advocates for something without studying it is sabotaging. And they can say, well, I never thought of these things. And the fuck are you advocating for something you've never even thought through? Ever. You have an instinct to advocate for these things. Well, I didn't do it consciously. What does that matter? This is another form of Platonic magical thinking. It doesn't matter to the poor whether the sabotage they experience is conscious or not. And of course, if you do want to exploit and hurt people, you need to keep it unconscious, which ties into the whole makeup argument. If men are conscious of female brain-shredding orgasm mimicry in the workplace, then it ceases to work. Which means that women have to compete on an even playing field, which is what I thought women wanted. They have to compete on an even playing field rather than using sexual signals to try to outcompete the male brain. It goes from high status to low status. If you think having a really expensive car is high status, then you will envy and look up to people with really expensive cars. What do I have? A secondhand 2018 or 2017, something like that. Anyway, so if you think that it's high status to have a Lamborghini or a Bugatti or a Rolls-Royce or whatever, then you'll envy those people. But if you realize that that's just insecure display and it's low status, right? Then it all falls apart. So what do you care? What do you care? If some pit bull is currently chewing your fucking leg off, do you care if it's innate or because the pit bull was badly raised? Does that matter? What matters is your leg is getting chewed off. Now, nobody who advocates for government schools can be unconscious of their horrible effect. What was it? Someplace in the States now, they found a disparate income between, sorry, they found a disparate outcome between ethnicities about reading comprehension for being teachers, so they're dropping the reading comprehension test for the teachers. Everybody knows, and this is back to Dangerous Minds and Stand and Deliver with Edward James almost prior to Battlestar Galactica and so on, Mr. Tank-Faced Pockmarkhead, that all of these schools are crap. Everybody knows the government schools in bad neighborhoods, in poor neighborhoods, are crap. Everybody knows that. I mean, the reading comprehension, the math abilities and so on, it's just crap. Everybody knows that. So nobody can complain. Nobody can claim 150 or 160 years after the government schools went in place, nobody can claim they have no idea that most people move in America. Like the housing crisis, 07-08 was for a bunch of DEI stuff, but also it was because people in America are desperate to get to better neighborhoods so they can get a hold of better schools, right? One of the things that drives housing prices a lot in America is people desperate to get out of bad neighborhoods so their kids can get better schools. Everybody knows that. So, oh, you think they do that on purpose? So you're trying to lead me into a fog land where you have to guess people's motivations who are compulsive liars. They're never going to tell you. Let's say that they do some have an instinct for it. They're never going to tell you. So you're trying to drag me into this fog bank where I'm trying to discern the motives of people who will never tell me the truth. You just want me to go someplace that there is no return. Now, of course, can I say, well, no, everybody's fully conscious of it, because then you say to people, are you conscious of that? No, I don't believe it. I've never would believe it. Like, they're just going to lie. People willing to sabotage the poor and destroy the young, do you think they're going to tell you the truth about their motivations? See, Steph, there's this pathological liar. I just need you to get him to tell the truth about that which is most shameful for him, and then I'll start accepting your theory. What matters is the theory correct? Motivations is girly. But what are the motivations? What do they secretly think? What do they secretly believe? It's a way of trying to plumb the depths of people's psyche when they're never going to tell you the truth anyway, rather than saying, is the theory true? You go to motivations, which is a way of avoiding whether the theory fits the facts or not. Does 2 and 2 make 4? I question your motivations for asking me that question. You know, that's a female tactic and not a healthy female tactic, like a dysfunctional female tactic. Right. So if you've ever confronted dysfunctional parents, what do they say? Where's this question coming from? What's your motive in bringing this up? What's the purpose of all of this? As opposed to, did it actually happen? Is it actually real? Is it true? What's your motivation? What's going on deep in your psyche that would even have you think of this, right? Do you really think they do that on purpose? I don't give a shit. When people advocate for things, they're responsible for knowing what they're advocating for. They can't claim unconsciousness. If you're advocating for something that's absolutely destructive, a state-run, quote, education, you can't then claim, well, I was unconscious. I mean, let's say I even accept this theory. Who cares? Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's a way of avoiding whether the theory is true or not. Do government schools sabotage the poor? Yes. Has this been known for over a century? Yes. Is it clear to everyone who has any clue or went through any of these schools? Yes. So then people who advocate for this kind of trash? Well, I don't believe that. I wasn't conscious of that. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know that. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I was always told that. So what do you give a rat's ass about people's motivations for? I told you 2025 is the year of bluntness. What do you care? What do you care about people's motivations for? It's a way of stalling and befogging and befouling the conversation. I'm not calling you foul. I'm just saying that this, oh, well, we don't know. We want to give them the excuse called, well, they just did not forgive them, Father, for they did not know. Don't care. I care about what's best for the poor. I don't care about what pathological altruists claim are their motivations, because you're never going to know. It's just a road track off an endless cliff. I must have been broke mind, because the class war thing is something I never actually think of much about. Well, if you've switched classes, as I have, you're aware of it. Somebody says, my parents became wealthy when I was around 10. It was strange going to a private secondary school where the kids were all on illegal drugs and antidepressants. They just seemed to be able to afford so many more problems. Yeah. Your level of problems in life are about the same no matter what. You might as well take on big issues to have problems about, because otherwise you just end up with small issues to have problems about. Somebody says, I wonder if the companies that advertise expensive product is good for the world / people as a strategy to make poor people pay way more money than they have. Owners of such companies are also liberal, for sure. Somebody writes, thank you for the tip. Maybe this is related to luxury beliefs. I've noticed a lack of negotiation between experts, which for myself is strange. Examples, the USA or Europe won't talk to Russia about ending the Ukrainian war. Mainstream media talking with Putin, noting the exception of Tucker Carlson. Just narrative control. A lack of negotiation between, quote, experts, which for myself. So, I mean, most, quote, experts are just the new mystery cult. Priests, right? The high priests, if you can't talk to God, you can't look at the data directly, you can't talk to God directly, you have to take our interpretation. Only I can tell you what God wants from you, therefore, if you believe in God, you have to be enslaved to me, right? That's, right? So the experts is just a new mystery religion, right? I call those nails raptor claws. Yeah, that's good. Steph, do you think that's why Napoleon was popular with the army, since he knew how to sight the cannons, which is something someone rank of corporal would know? The generals of the other armies probably took pride in not knowing how to sight a cannon. Yeah, wasn't there a famous German who came out of the army too? So yeah, I mean, one of the reasons that I got along well with programmers is I knew the issues and challenges they were facing because I myself was a programmer. Right? So those who manage should first be able to do, and those who can't do should never be able to manage because they're never going to have any, it's all the people who claim to know what's best for the economy, who've never been in the private sector. I mean, it's just an IQ test, right? Someone says, I also feel that the marketing for expensive products, which advertise environmentalism ethics, is mostly targeted at women, and women are using their husbands' funds to provide these products, which surpasses the man's ability to use his resources to actually make a better impact in the world. I did $35 support of Free Domain. Thanks, Steph, for the high-value wisdom you share. I appreciate that. So if people care about environmentalism, then they should want as much lands in the hands of private owners as possible because the government doesn't care about the quality of the lands that they own. And the most dangerous thing is mental toxins, right? Bad beliefs, bullying, violence, control, all of the government stuff. In quote, education, right? So you should want, detoxing the mind is necessary for protecting the environment. Because if you have luxury beliefs, if you have unreal beliefs, you can't protect the environment because protecting the environment is a very practical thing to do. So you can't have absurdist anti-rational beliefs and then also protect the environment. You'll just be too prone to manipulation. So people who are caring about the environment and aren't saying, well, we need to get robust metaphysics and epistemology into government schools, I mean, they just don't care. Again, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Just a bunch of nonsense that people say, because it's fun to talk about. Boom, 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 boom. All right, so let's get to your comments. Are we a little behind? Why, yes, we are. Women that have all those unnecessary accessories in my brain are walking red flags. So thankful for all the manual labor I did in my teens and how it stripped that mindset away. Yeah, for sure. I went to a local quite large mall to go shopping for the fun of it. I haven't done that in over a decade. I walked the whole mall and didn't find any store I had an interest in. I'd rather save and invest. Yeah, I mean, just go shopping with a bunch of women and see what's going on, right? It's crazy. I had to not wear any makeup and wear t-shirts and jeans at work to get any work done. Dressing up for office parties was always fun, though, to see the men's reactions. Yeah, for sure. Nothing wrong with a woman wanting to be attractive to a male. That's why we're all here. I've identified these status myths to a couple of my girlfriends, and inevitably they begin to resent you, and I had to let them go as friends. Yeah, because you're taking away fake magical boner power from the women, right? I like using makeup to dress up for special outings, but it's also very limited, just enough to make you look like a brighter, natural version of yourself is, I think, acceptable. After all, preening is just a normal feminine thing, and it's okay to take joy in it as long as it's not excessive or obsessive. That's fine. Again, my wife will use some makeup from time to time. We just had our anniversary yesterday. We went out for a nice dinner, and we both dressed up to the nines, which meant I sucked my stomach in, and she used a bit of makeup. So that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. For a wife to look attractive to her husband is a very healthy and positive and wonderful thing, right? I exercise in part to remain attractive to my wife because I owe my wife being attractive because I have a monopoly on her affections. And a monopoly means greater responsibility, unlike the state where a monopoly means less responsibility. So yes, being attractive for your boyfriend, for your husband, it's great. It's just that when you're in a business environment or a professional environment or something like that, and you are using fake climaxes to unwire the male brains, that's not particularly noble or good, right? Somebody says, it's really quite sad when women get reliant on makeup. I've known women who won't leave the house without their makeup on. Their self-esteem totally relies on it. Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, right? Have you heard this like creepy thing, which is, I have to put my face on? It's kind of weird, right? Yeah, I worked with a woman up north. We would go into town once a week to get groceries. She took her an hour and a half to go to the grocery store because she had to put her makeup on. Crazy. Doom, 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 doom. Spot on. Thank you. Well, thank you for the five. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, motivations are a complete red herring, and it's a way of derailing a conversation. I'm really grateful for this conversation, Steph, because you're calling out my own consumeristic tendencies. I went from ultra broke on welfare to marrying an upper middle class man, and I went on a buying frenzy as I escaped a life of deprivation. It is important for me to consider these things as I move on and essentially grow up as a person. Thank you. I work at 5 a.m. and the women somehow still find the time to put their face on. Oh, you work out at 5 a.m. Yeah, I mean, wearing makeup and so on. A hypersexual display is a woman begging you to ignore her personality, right? Please, God, don't look at who I am. Just look at the flesh I accidentally inherited. It is a desire for the unearned because women don't earn their attractive body parts, and they certainly didn't invent male lust, right? They're just inheriting what nature has provided or commanded for the future of life and monetizing it for themselves as if it's their responsibility and positivity. And look, I don't mind materialism. I mean, you know, it's nice to have some nice stuff for sure. Right? I mean, I bought a car with some, I mean, again, it's secondhand, the car that I have, but it's got some nice safety features, right? I want a robust car. I'm driving and the drivers are getting worse, right? Intelligence is falling. Impulse control is falling. Distractions are increasing. I drive like everyone around me is drunk and texting. I mean, just, I assume that everybody is drunk and texting. And, you know, that means why I think I'm a pretty safe driver. So I wanted a car with some safety features. I could have bought some, you know, $500 beater or something like that and whatever, right? But so I have no problem with, I got a nice microphone here. I got a nice Sony camera here. And obviously I haven't spent a huge amount of money on the studio, but who wants to be distracted from the giant floating thumbprint of truth? So I don't mind materialism. That's fine. I wrestled with myself. So every time I have to buy some tech, I wrestle with myself. It's just, you know, whether it's plus or minus, I don't know. It's for the business, right? So I needed a Windows tablet because when I plan my call-in shows through Skype, the phone or Android or iOS tablet doesn't show your upcoming calls, and I need to reference this when I'm, you know, what am I doing tomorrow? And right, my family asked me, I'm sort of making plans, so I needed a Windows tablet that. I have one for call-in shows, but it takes like 4 minutes to boot up. So I can't just have it boot up all the time. So I needed a faster tablet that could boot up quickly so that I could check my call-ins and plan them, you know, without necessarily having to go into the studio and boot up this big beast of a computer and so on, right? So, I mean, it was tough, man. It's tough to buy, man. It's tough to spend. I'm not quite the guy, you know, that we used to make fun of when we played D&D. And we'd order pizza, like mothballs and dust coming out of his wallet, which he rarely opens. This is the guy who didn't donate any money to the pizza, but put in a coupon, which we had a very robust debate about. And I finally found a computer that I think works and is productive and good for what I want to do. And then they wanted $49 shipping. First of all, I go and check. God help me if there's a coupon code. I know you can automate this, although those never seem to work. God help me. I've probably wasted at least 3 lifetimes on coupon codes. It's sad. Oh, is there a coffee shop I go to twice a year? I must get a card stamp. It's sad. But, you know, I can only fight my nature to a certain amount. God help me if there's a coupon code. I could try. I could get $3 off. Right? So anyway, and there was a coupon code. $100 off the computer, and I was trying to find a way. And then I order it, and it's like $49.95 for shipping. And it's like, and there's no option. And it's like, I don't pay shipping. I will order $4,000 worth of stuff to avoid shipping. Actually, I don't do, but you know what I mean. Like, just, so I finally managed, and I wrestled. I finally managed to get the $100 coupon, and I found a way to get 3 shipping as long as I'm willing to take it a week later. I'm fine. So. It's become this sort of weird compulsive game. I'm like, I would actually have twice my natural lifespan if there was some web add-in that hid coupon codes for me. It would be great. So yeah, I mean, I've no problem with materialism. I spent a fair amount of money on this microphone and the setup and all of that, because for me, the audio quality is important and it means something. And all of that. So I've no problem with materialism, but it's all going to get thrown out, right? A friend of mine reconnected with his birth family and found he had a sister, and the sister, this is a different guy, forget birth family guy, different guy. He had a sister, and they inherited some money from the death of a parent, and she bought a whole bunch of crap online. It was delivered to her house. She ended up dying. Half of it was unopened, right? Half of it was unopened. Think of all the great stuff you ordered that's sitting in a drawer. So, oh, this phone is the best thing ever. It's been sitting in a drawer for 5 years. It's the same thing with this obsession of videoing and photographing everything. I mean, for me, maybe it's got some importance because maybe my life will be of interest to people in the future. But for, you know, 99.9% of the population, whoever is going to look back, right? Maybe a sunset or two. Videos of fireworks, videos of concerts, nobody cares. You're never going to go back. never going to look at it. No one else is ever going to look at it. It's going to be on some hard drive in the basement that might never boot up again. And you want to see these videos of the cleaners who go into older people, particularly if nobody cares about their stuff, either they didn't have kids or their kids don't care. You want to watch these videos of people going in and all the stupid shit that people have, all the photos, all the photo albums, and it just gets thrown out, gets thrown in the trash, all that time, created the scrapbooks and I have for this, or like LP collections. The devil take your stereo and your record collection. It was an embarrassing amount of time it took for me to figure out that Adam Ant was adamant, you know, hyper makeup, girl boy from the 80s. Some good songs though, but standard deliverer. So what does that mean? Like Gen X is full of rage. I'm Gen X, right? Gen X is full of rage because we bought singles, then we bought LP albums, then we bought CDs. And now we have to rebuy everything in digital. And now we have to pay a subscription, all for the same fucking songs. Right, right? But you should be, if you show a photo of the album, you should get the songs for free. So, although the convenience is unmatched, right? And it's really not that expensive. But the amount of time I've saved by not having to make mixtapes. It's a great song by Atari Teenage Riot called, I've never even heard it. It's a great song title called Song for a Mixtape. It's great. Mr. Eel's Beautiful Blues, a fun song. Anyway, so materialism is fine, but in moderation, right? Don't use materialism for mood management, right? So I vaguely regret, like the computer that I'm using now, it was a couple of weeks ago, I tried to boot it up and I got to the BIOS once or twice, tried loading the defaults. Load default BIOS, that's going to do it. Magic, even though I didn't remember changing anything. God help you when you're trying to fix some no-boot computer by resetting the BIOS to standards, and then you say, save and quit, and it says, well, you haven't made any changes. I'm like, Anyway, so I had to drop it off at the shop, and then I got it back with, they said, we had to reinstall Windows. I'd give you a new hard drive. And I'm like, then it was like, then I got it back, and it's like, Windows is not registered, so then I buy a Windows license. And I was like, please God, don't make me have to buy a new computer. Please God, don't make me have to buy a new computer. And explain why to my wife. So, materialism is fine. Just don't die surrounded by boxes of unopened crap that you bought to make your mood slightly better. Right? So, I like getting new tech. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to get a new notebook. It's going to have some cool features. I'm going to boot it up. Hey, what does it do? That's kind of neat, right? I get all of that, right? That can be fun. But just don't die with a bunch of useless crap that you use to mood manage. Where you want to mood manage is in your connections with people, your fun and love with people, right? All right. Let's get to your other questions or comments. Donations would be more than welcome. He said in a minorly aggressive tone, freedomain.com/donate. I'm done being nice. Just kidding. Somebody says, you're right about driving, especially in the sanctuary cities I work in. I started noticing this about 8 years ago. Consequently, I now walk to work very carefully, LOL. Yeah, I try to avoid flying and driving. Why didn't you just use a real $20 bill? That's why no one will remember your name. Right, somebody says, the makeup women don't worry me as much as those who go out looking like absolute dumpsters. I see much more of that in daily life than women who put on a face. The raggedy pajama people, women and men, both in public, makes me feel uneasy because I'm seeing how little people care about themselves and the world by extension. So the pajama people, the girls in those like flannel pajama pants, or the girls with the word juicy across their ass. So the women who are slovenly, so to speak, or the women who are wearing pajamas are trying to give you morning wood, right? Because that's how women would dress. Like, what was that old song by Shania Twain? Man, I feel like a woman. Or something like that. I may have mispronounced that. Sounds like a cannibal. Man, I feel like a female thigh. But man's shirts, short skirts, right? Man's shirts, short skirts, right? So a woman who's dressing in pajamas at Starbucks is trying to give you, I would assume, a morning wood, because that's how a woman who slept over would look in the morning. Hey, Steph, I just wanted to comment. Money supply and interest rates are not being set by the government. They're being set by the Federal Reserve, which is a privately owned organization. Completely true. As the old saying goes, the Federal Reserve is about as federal as Federal Express. But who gives them the monopoly? Thank you for touching more about materialism. For me, it can be difficult to define needs rather than wants. What you've discussed today is really significant for this distinction. However, I do think the shearling slippers I got for Christmas were a definite need. Warm toesies are a must. Sure, if it adds to your comfort and value. I've got some slippers that are cozy and comfy. I never used to wear slippers, then I got married. And I bless my wife for introducing me to the magic of shaggy slippers. They're lovely. Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I mean, I'll watch some TV. I just like documentaries. No, I mean, I'll watch some TV from time to time. Having a nice TV is better than having a bad TV. Again, it's nothing wrong with these things. Fine. Obviously, you don't get some $10,000 90-inch TV or whatever. Probably is a bit overkill, but. People look like piles of laundry with legs. Yeah, for sure. I also wonder if the distinction of needs are different for men and women, respectively. Men get a lot of peace and happiness from their work alone, but for women to be fertile, happy, they need to also feel safe and provided for, which often entails more material things to achieve than what men need. So women are supposed to go from attractive to mother. Obviously, I'm not saying mothers can't be attractive, but women are supposed to, the Lucifer matches, right? They're the matches that you can light in the back of a stage and be seen from the balcony seats, right? Lucifer matches. So women are supposed to burn at the maximum of attractiveness. They're supposed to get married, have kids, and then the purpose of their beauty is reproduction, right? I remember there was an old Mad, I learned a lot from Mad Magazine in terms of morals. I actually read a great book on the morals of Mad Magazine written by a theologian way back in the day. It taught me some very good moral principles. And one of them was, they were very cynical about this sort of female beauty standards, and one was, I don't remember the exact thing, but it was like the grandmother, like the skinny grandma with too much makeup, who's always joking about how attractive she is and how men want her, as opposed to the, you know, kind of plump grandma with her hair in a bun who's making you cookies and listening to your stories, right? So what do you think of voting pattern? What do you think of question answer? You might have to be a tad. This is part of teaching you about empathy. Is that a question that can be answered in any level of detail or comprehended in any clarity? Nope. So think about what it's like to be on the receiving end of your questions. That would be very helpful for you and your relationships. Everything I buy, I use regularly, says someone. I don't have anything that just sits around gathering dust. I got a house, wife, and kids to save for, not to mention how uninteresting material things are in comparison to being a family man. Yeah, for sure. Do you think we are closer to the book The Present becoming a documentary day by day, day by day? Steph, don't remember hearing you comment on Craigslist founder Craig Newmark read his take on money/life. I believe your memory is correct. I don't believe I have commented on those things. All right. Any other tips, questions, issues? Not a great tip day, but we shall survive. I will survive. Last questions, tips, issues, problems. I put the original question in the reply. Oh, okay. So my apologies. I should mention this. That is the live stream does not give the question in the reply. Let's see here. What did I get? The majority of Trump voters are white men. Do you think this will be a trend in the next election in places like Canada and Britain? That's not I don't need to tell you this. Of course, you can't vote for Trump in Canada and Britain, so I'm not sure what you're asking. White males generally tend to prefer a smaller government. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I'm not sure what do you mean. Oh, is your question, will white males tend to vote for smaller government? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they will. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not sure they've talked about this so many times, I'm not really sure what you're asking. Yeah, so in general, and you weren't here maybe for the last one, so in general, it's just important to, if you're going to quote, put them in the text as well. Because using the studio, which broadcasts to a bunch of different places. I can't see. It doesn't show me the questions and the answers. All right. Let's see here. It was a good rant. It was a good rant. Good questions, good comments. I'm still amazed. Will more men vote in the Canadian and British elections? Well, they will if there's an alternative. If there's an alternative, for sure. I like when you answer a big question, but have people commit to donated first. The turnout was like, yeah, if people are given a choice. Now, there was really no bigger choice than between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Like, there was no bigger disparity. I mean, that was an election that absolutely mattered. And so people, if they're given a real choice, they will tend to vote. If they're just not given the same, you know, if it's the same thing but with different propaganda, then it doesn't really seem. Check him out. He seems like an example of what you preach. I mean, I guess I can be described as preaching, but that's not really what philosophers do. But anyway, all right. Well, thanks everyone for a lovely, lovely live stream. If you would like to make up for the people who couldn't or wouldn't donate today, you can do that at freedomain.com/donate to help out. I would really appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate. Don't forget to check out, man, Stephbot AI is great. There are a whole bunch of AIs that we've got. We've got the Call-In AI. We've got the Stephbot AI, the couple of other AIs. You can get those at premium.freedomain.com. People are using them a lot. It's a great way to ask a question of me when I am not around. So, and if you don't have time or can't afford a private call-in, don't have time for a call-in or want to keep things more private, you can do that. Do a call-in at freedomain.com. Well, you can go to subscribe at subscribestar.com/freedomain or freedomain.locals.com or at freedomain.com. You can subscribe. You get access to all of the really juicy stuff for donors, which can't be overestimated. I just did a donor stream recently just on Bitcoin, which I think was very helpful for people as a whole. So yes, if you can help out, I would appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate. Have yourself a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. Lots of love from up here. My friends, I'll talk to you soon.